Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, Steve Jones Show. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday as we roll through. Greg Norman says that golf's anti-doping procedures are disgraceful and blood testing needs to be instituted as soon as possible. He says, I have to look at what's happened to Vijay Singh just recently to know that the drug issue is there, Norman said. Meanwhile, Kevin Herr says at the Purdy tournament, he's going to use deer spray because he thinks it'll correct his slice. In the Jack Nicklaus Golf My Way series, he opens up by saying, you have 14 clubs in the bag, but only one swing. Okay? There aren't enough deer in the world to correct that thing. Singh acknowledged in a magazine interview in January that he'd used deer antler spray, which contains a muscle-building hormone banned by the PGA Tour, can be detected only through blood tests. How deep is the problem? I have no idea, Norman said, because we only do urine analysis instead of blood testing. Norman said, if you really want to be serious about it and find out what's really going on, we need to do blood testing. I think it's disgraceful to tell you the truth. The Golf Association has to get together and stop it. Says it's a pinprick for a player. You find out what's going on. If you're the head of golf or any sport, if you're the commissioner of a sport, it's your responsibility to make sure your sport is clean. That should be the number one priority. Then he makes a great point. Then he makes a great point here at the end. Any sportsman or sportswoman who uses an outside agency to improve their skills is cheating, Norman said. It sickens me. They're putting a black eye on their sport. If a sport gets a clean bill of health, the corporate dollars will always be there because people will know it's a sport they can trust. The rest will take care of itself. Insightful. Meanwhile, I'm working with somebody. I mean, Drew Kelly may not be the greatest golfer, but he's clean. Okay? May not be the greatest, but I'm clean. Meanwhile, her's out there ultra-competitive, looking at the rest of the field, and he's got deer antler spray on him from head right down to his toes. Is this something Kelly and I want to be associated with? Really? Steve Samsel joins us today to talk about sports and media. Joe Bautista joins us today as well to talk about progress with Pegula and Penn State ice hockey, and also the future possibility of a game in Beaver Stadium. The Hilsers General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. I'm safely ensconced and deer spray free here at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. First, above the noise, here is the deer antler-free Dan Patrick.
At Sunbury Motor Company, the letters SMC mean a lot to us. Those letters stand for a tradition of trust since 1915. SMC stand for
selling more cars
and
satisfying more customers.
SMC, it stands for Sunbury Motor Company. And when you need a Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia, you have our lowest price promise. Log on to sunburymotors.com to
see more choices
and
save more cash.
And then you can say, start my car. I'll take it.
SMC.
In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Route 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back, Steve Jones Show, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday as we roll through the All Sports Museum at Penn State. It started, I would say it started in the late 90s. Lou Prado was the first curator of the Penn State All Sports Museum. And really, it was Lou's job to get many of the existing exhibits. I'll give you an example.
there is an exhibit for Penn State basketball upstairs, and you'll see that there is a cup upstairs. That cup is from the 1954 Final Four, the only Final Four that Penn State basketball's ever been to in the NCAA. They played in Kansas City that year. They beat LSU with Bob Pettit, and they beat Notre Dame in Iowa City to advance to the Final Four in Kansas City, where they eventually lost to LaSalle in the national semifinal led by Tom Gola, which, of course, the Tom Gola era was brought up several times during the course of LaSalle's run this year, getting to the Sweet 16. Then Penn State played in the third-place game, and yes, in 1954 they had a third-place game. In fact, that third-place game existed through 1980. And Penn State won the third-place game and beat USC. Well, it turned out they gave a cup to Penn State, a trophy for being in the Final Four and finishing in third place. Well, Lou Prado found it in a closet in Rec Hall, buried among some rubble in Rec Hall. Found it in the late 90s. Took it, had it sent out, polished it up. It now sits there prominently in the Penn State basketball showcase. So you have the All Sports Museum, which has limited space without question. A guy that's done a great job succeeding Lou Prado and has really kept the museum fresh over a period of time has been Ken Hickman. And earlier I had a chance to sit down and talk to Ken about the All Sports Museum and some new displays they have.
It's certainly great to be here. Great to have you guys here. Yeah, we're certainly all getting ready to have a big weekend.
And also, you didn't get a chance to show him because he only came in here to bust my chops and not look at exhibits. But, you know, one of the things that you've done is you've changed and updated the football exhibit.
We have. It's been a project that we're just finishing off right now. It'll be open to the general public starting first thing Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. But we've been able to rework part of that area, so we're not touching anything from the past. But we've been able to create a nice amount of space for Coach O'Brien for the 2012 team. And certainly is a little bit of a thank you to the senior class. You know, and we've actually been able to work in a little bit of room to grow. So we're looking forward to all sorts of new memories, and new pictures, new artifacts, and just kind of continuing the story as Penn State football rolls forward.
Yeah, you have – this is not an unlimited space, all right? So you have to make the space work, and you have to make it work now with 31 as opposed to 29 mm-hmm. when you originally got here. So what kind of work does it take to make sure that within the space you have – the just do is given to sports that Penn State's so proud of?
Sure. It's, you know, what we try to do is work with each one of our programs to make sure that, you know, key people are being recognized as in a timely manner. Because it's certainly, we all know, you know who a lot of the bigger names and stars are, but a lot of times programs have individuals that might not be as well known, but who contribute both on and off the field of competition. And, you know, the coaches feel that those individuals deserve some recognition as well. And it's a lot of it is juggling space and trying to squeeze in where we can. We're going to rearrange some things upstairs through the summer so we can work in ice hockey. And we're certainly excited to add that. I know there are a lot of people on campus, including myself, who are thrilled to have that program at D1.
Yeah.
And it's coming off this inaugural season, there's already some great memories to be able to work into that.
And Cassidy Bell was just here. Yep. She just set the home run record mm-hmm. for softball, so that's another add in there.
Exactly.
As well. So it takes a lot of work to do this. And also the importance of keeping it fresh. I mean, there are certain things that are standards you mm-hmm. want, right? But keeping it fresh, how important is that part of the mission? And at times, how difficult is it?
You know, it certainly is key. We're a little bit different than a lot of museums you might go to in that, a lot of places, if you go to Mount Vernon, they talk about George Washington. The focus is on that time period.
Yeah.
Our story keeps going. Yeah. We have Blue White this weekend. Cassidy just set the record. Hockey's is getting moving forward. So the story keeps going. So it's very important that we're able to reflect things that have happened recently. It's one of the reasons we really wanted to make sure football was done before Blue White this year.
Right.
Yeah. So it's kind of a constant process to keep us where we need to be.
We all know when it started. I mean, people could come in, it was free, so on and so forth. It's a suggested mm-hmm. donation. How well have people responded to that, and how heartened have you been by that response?
The overall public response really has been quite good. I think folks understand the suggested donation for admission, all the money from that stays here at the museum. That helps fund exhibits like hockey, like football. It helps fund those updates to keep things current.
When you did your Olympic one, I remember.
Exactly.
That. But again, that's $5 for adults and anybody in the Wilcox age. Actually, 65 and over, Wilcox probably is the age. Maybe he's free. He doesn't know. But we appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot for having us here.
It's great to have you guys out today. And we certainly look forward to folks coming in this weekend. Again, we've expanded football. We have a new exhibit that's opening upstairs as well that's kind of highlights from throughout our collection. That's football's back to the 1880s. One of our favorite things, the Nittany Lion mascot suit from the 87 Fiesta Bowl.
Wow.
That's not something that we're able to get out all that often, but it came back to us a couple of years ago from Doug Skinner, who was a Lion at that game, and it's kind of one of our holy grail types of things, so it's great to have it out for folks to see.
I hope it was dry cleaned.
Let's just say you didn't want to see the socks when they came in.
Ken, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
It's great to have.
And again, that is Ken Hickman. I was able to talk to him just a couple weeks ago about the All Sports Museum and what they do. There is a suggested donation, but everything goes back into the museum. It doesn't go anywhere else. And they had just put up the new Bill O'Brien exhibit on the first floor in the football area when you walk in. And when you walk in, and for those who may be wondering, okay, have they made any real changes in that football area in regards to Joe? And the answer is no. When you walk in, on the left-hand side, the first thing you see is the Wheaties box that Joe is on, and he is prominently displayed in the museum. So just in case people are wondering, because I know it's a very sensitive subject, but obviously Bill's the head football coach now. They added that in, 2012 season, how special that was, and that is the new exhibit that they put in there. As I mentioned, that particular day, Bill came in for one specific reason. That was to, quote, bust my chops. It had nothing to do with him wanting to see any exhibits. But the All Sports Museum, they have limited space. I mean, they have not really had it. When this was originally supposed to be built, it was actually supposed to be in the parking lot area where the handicap lot is between the Jordan Center and Beaver Stadium, which is where you park for the All Sports Museum. That's where the museum was supposed to be. And because of budgets and so forth, when they did the addition on the end of Beaver Stadium in 2000, and then it opened in 2001, so obviously the museum opened in 2001 with Lou Prado, but they were garnering stuff in 99 and 2000. When they decided to do the expansion on the south end, they decided that it would be economically feasible to put the museum and attach it to the stadium. There really isn't any room to grow in there. It's not like they can expand the museum, even though they have more sports than ever. They can be a little more creative in what they do, and they certainly use the media room, as an example, as part of the experience, because when you go in there, they show Penn State DVDs and what they call the Clemens Theater. That is the media room when you go in. So that part's closed on Tuesdays during the course of the football season, but open all the other days. Big weekend coming up around here because it is commencement weekend. Big weekend indeed at Penn State. So I think 8,000 are getting their degrees this weekend across the Penn State system. Congratulations to them. So the All Sports Museum will be open. Maybe you want to take that in as you go through the graduation experience. It's up to you. But the town is going to be flowing with people, and obviously happy ones who are going out into the world. All right, coming up, bottom of the hour, a news update. And we'll have more coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Safely ensconced with the door locked, I might add, in the Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. But I do have an open door policy to all of you fans out there. It's great to have you with us on board today. Don't forget about the Hilscher's General Store hotline, open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Something that's very popular that fans really enjoy, because, look, everyone watches TV. Everyone does. Many listen to radio, like you're listening to the show right now, or to the games, for example, on a Saturday or during basketball season, whether it's Jack and me or Dick and me, or whether it happens to be another radio network along the way, talk shows such as this one. And years ago, back in 66, the Boston Globe decided to hire a guy named Jack Craig. And Jack Craig's job was to be a sports radio and TV analyst. In other words, his job was to write about the people who broadcast the games, whether it was the actual broadcasters themselves or the presentation of the games or the shows. And it was called Sport View. It was called Sport View, with, of course, the T in sport and then the V in view being enlarged for TV. And that column was extremely popular in the Globe for decades, not just a few years, but decades. And thus we have the radio TV analyst. Well, we have one actually here in Pennsylvania. Does very much the same thing. Steve Samsel, he teaches at Penn State, but he also writes a radio television column that appears in several newspapers across the state. I believe he's in the Reading Eagle. I think he might be in the Allentown Morning Call, and predominantly for the Altoona Mirror. And he joins us now. And Steve, welcome. It is great to have you on the show for the first time. It's great to have you here.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Give us an idea how much time you need to invest to then really put together something along the way. How much of it do you record, and how much do you see live?
Be half and half, maybe. It depends on what the week is and what's going on, what's on TV or what I'm listening to in radio. And I'm traveling. I'm listening to some kind of sports talk somewhere, whether it's Sirius XM or whether it's local. And TV wise, I'm flipping back. I mean, I don't often watch a bunch of stuff that I'm not interested in. I mean, and it just kind of weeds out the chaff of the stuff you have to pay attention to and not. But probably on a given week, I don't know, 10 hours or so of stuff back and forth of watching and doing, which isn't a lot. I mean, I'm sure a lot of fans watch a lot more stuff than that. So I think it's just you're kind of getting a pulse of what's out there for people more so than saying you're looking at everything.
Right. And the SiriusXM part, and as somebody who is a SiriusXM person myself, you pick up a wide variety along the way, don't you?
Oh, there's a lot out there. I mean, it's amazing, and I think it gives you a sense of the quality of other stuff you hear by hearing what other people are listening to. Just some of the national guys and the different styles, and some of the stuff you kind of cringe at, some of the stuff you kind of nod your head to. Yeah, that's not bad. And again, it's all a personal thing, but it's fun to hear that variety, and that's what makes the sports talk and sports TV kind of stuff fun. It's like the fans. There's a lot of different approaches in terms of people supporting their teams, and there's a lot of different approaches in how people do their jobs.
Well, and what's interesting is that regionalism comes into this in part. There is no way, for example, I think, that let's take the late Larry Munson from Georgia. And the Georgia network guys pick up and they do the same thing he did. We, us, them, and so forth. That doesn't play up here. And I'm not so sure how well up here plays down there.
No, I think every place has its own flavor, and that's what makes it fun. And if you listen to enough of it, and I'm not even sure I've listened to enough of it, but people certainly know when there's someplace else. What's going to happen in New York isn't going to happen in Birmingham. And Eli Gold goes about it a different way from somebody else in another part of the country.
No question.
It's that's what makes it fun. And that's when I was, you know, covering sports on a regular basis. One of the first things I did was try to find the sports talk radio in town or even a local radio station in town and just get a flavor for the town. And then I think that's what gives you a better connection, gives you that sense of Americana, that sense of community when you go into a place. And I think it can be valuable to listen to that. And again, it's just enjoyable for me to do.
Do you have a certain level of standards? Is there a standard that you have when you listen that has to be met or not met?
No, I mean, I think somebody who's doing something in one town may play differently. It may depend on someone's mood in terms of what they're hearing, you know, on a certain day. So, no, I think I know, you know, nationally some guys are putting on a show. You know, I know the shtick. I know I'm not going to react to it. And it's kind of funny to hear callers, you know, call in and say, hey, you know, and then just take offense at something when they're doing a show. And at the same time, you know, I guess maybe you don't expect that kind of thing, someone to be doing a show or playing a role with a different topic, you know, and that gets to, you know, what you're listening to for people sometimes who are kind of trying to play or trying to dig out a reaction that maybe you don't listen to them as often or in something that's as meaningful to you where you want an honest opinion.
Now, we know obviously what's gone on around here the last 18 months. How different, if there are any, how different has it been in terms of how it's been treated locally versus how it's been treated outside of the state?
I think that's probably been, listening to the national stuff during this time has been the most interesting thing and telling thing. I mean, it has been different because nationally, and it's not unanimous, but it's a large portion of people who have painted Penn State and Central Pennsylvania with a broad brush. You know, everyone there was somehow complicit. Everyone knew what was going on. Oh, you can't believe anything that's coming out of Central Pennsylvania. And meanwhile, the folks doing it locally are trying to say, hey, wait a second, there's some nuances to this. But at the same time, no, sharing an opinion and perspective without trying to sound like they're making excuses. And it's that patience or that ability to have that perspective is missing. And it's missing, you know, TV, radio, even print, because we just don't have the attention span to think through some stuff or say, you know, if it's complicated, we're not going to listen to it more than a minute. And that's the tough part, because the stuff that happened here isn't as easy to explain away. It is for the people that have lived it and experienced it and know it and say, hey, well, it's not that simple. And we may come with that knowledge, but when something gets not that simple for listeners or TV viewers, it's over in terms of getting your message out.
Something also, too, take, for example, you know, this show here. This show is different than Corey's show. Yeah, but the respect the two of us have for each other, obviously, is there. But we do shows in a different way. Do you sense that there's a different way of doing a show if, for example, you're from the print medium as opposed to somebody who grew up in the broadcast medium?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think in terms of what your final end game is with the show or what you want to have happen, and I think one of the ways we're lucky locally is to have a couple different approaches. You know, some people might want to be, you know, take a little more discussion, take some time, some patience, and you're going to say, hey, everything's not in yet. Here's what I think. You know, and you're in a tough position sometimes, too, because some stuff may break that's Penn State related, that Corey doesn't have that relationship with the university, that longer relationship with the university, and doesn't work for the university in some instances where he's just going to say, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, and he and I have had that discussion. He's in a different position and able to do that. And I think two shows like this are good, and they reflect the time of the day, too. I mean, that was one of the things I wrote for the Mirror early on was, you know, we're lucky to have two different shows, but you're at a time when you don't get a lot of drive time calls, you don't get those kind of things. So inherently, because of the time of the day, they're going to be different as well.
Right, and there's no question. But I think it's good that it's two. I don't think you want the same thing on. And that's why I think his show, I'm really glad it's different than what we do, and I would hope he feels the same way, because I think it gives the listener a variety.
And that's what listeners, I mean, I think nationally, when I listen to, well, when I visit it briefly, you know, when I listen to the Mad Dog channel on SiriusXM, I don't know, I'm too old to listen to that station sometimes, I feel. I'm not going to rant and rave.
Yeah, I know, I've listened to it,
style.
Yeah.
And I think these two shows locally aren't that extreme or different. But it is that people want to have something that sounds like them. At the end of the day, the host, you know, no matter who the check's coming from or who you know, they're finally at the end game serving the audience. And I think both of you know who your audiences are.
The next part is, how interested have you been by how, and I don't even know how much of a read you've had in the last 24 hours, but Jason Collins' announcement and then his subsequent interview with George Stephanopoulos?
Yeah, I didn't see the stuff with Stephanopoulos this morning. I saw just about everything. I heard stuff yesterday, start to finish, because it started off as a Tim Tebow day.
Yes, it did.
And it was going to be all Tim Tebow all day long until the Jason Collins stuff broke. I think what I saw and what I heard and then what I've seen reported from some other places, you got pretty much what you would expect with this story. I mean, there was the support, the measured comments, some responses that weren't so measured. And I think that's the mix you would expect to have with this story. You got everything from folks saying, hey, I'm not going to touch it. It's not news, so what? And I don't know, on one way, I can understand them, someone saying that. At the same time, it is a newsworthy topic. It might be something that the folks that say that say, hey, you know, hey, it's not a big deal. And it shouldn't be, but it is certainly going to be a point of discussion. And I think the media's done a generally good job with it. I mean, you're going to have, you know, people who pop off, and even though they know what the consequences could be for popping off, they're still going to share their beliefs, which, you know, you got to respect them for sharing their beliefs, too. So it's been a very interesting, you know, less than 24 hours, I guess, with this story.
Obviously, the news cycle drives the topics of the show. So, for example, you know, Brian and I talked about Tebow the other day. Obviously, we've talked about the Collins thing for a period of time. I mean, topics of the day. And then, of course, delved into some of the local stuff, too. Anthony Stanko is going to stay on scholarship but not play. Stephen Bench, 67 scholarships, 64 available players. We've talked about all that today. Are there certain topics that are delved in too often, in your opinion, and there are some topics that maybe should be delved into more often in general based on what you listen to?
I think nationally people would point to the Tebow stuff, but at the same time, I think people are watching and paying attention because, or at least, you know, have their ear perk up when they hear their name. So, I understand ESPN getting beat up through the years for that in the past year and a half or so, whatever, all the time they've been on Tebow, but I don't sense that people are stopping listening or watching because of that. And I think anytime there's a hot topic, you get tired of it after a while. But, you know, what, your average radio listener is going to listen, you know, 10 minutes an hour or maybe even less. You know, so you've kind of got to come back and touch on touchstone stories so people know you're doing it, even though you know you've done it already too. So it's kind of a catch-22 on the broadcaster side with it, I think, sometimes as well.
Right. Yeah, no question about that. For you, how important is this on the academic end? I mean, you know, with that job.
It's been interesting this spring to watch how students consume news. Not that I didn't before, but I did a little more with the sports writing class this spring in my role at Penn State, and it was just interesting to watch how they consume and how quickly they move on from something, or they don't, or what they think of as criticism. And I've learned a little bit about how people consume news, which I thought I knew, and think about how we deliver it and what's going on. But I think there's also an impetus there on the folks who consume it to consume it differently in terms of the perspective and context. I mean, dealing with the students, that was the biggest thing, you know, and it's one of the things, you know, that someone like you does well in terms of that history and that tradition and knowing where stuff fits. You know, as I see students consume news and not have a context, or they write something and they as if it's the first and only time it's ever happened, or this person was the first, it just, that's been interesting. And those are the folks who, if they don't have that context, go out and then shape news and information for other people. So I think that's the part that's really been interesting from the academic side of it, and watching how people do it.
Yeah, and this is, I know on the academic side of it, in talking with students, I explained to them that the history of sports did not begin on September 5th, 1979, right. Which is the day ESPN went on the air. And I, you know, and that's the part that I find, because history does give you, can, not always, but can give you some context.
Yeah, I mean, my students have strong beliefs, good skills, but I think that perspective is important. You know, even if it's, you know, I just saw a story earlier today of the X Games, just thinking about movement, so I don't know why Evel Knievel's on my mind, but, you know, he's the godfather of that kind of stuff. And not that that's going to be in everything they do about that, but you have to know what happened beforehand to be able to provide that context or how to share that information responsibly. I mean, you can be too slow sometimes, but I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned in trying to go forward and do that class in the future is how to provide that, because they can write, they know what's going on, they know the cliches, you can hopefully shake them of those kind of things, but it is a bigger picture, thinking beyond themselves or beyond the reach of their hand in terms of what they're going to do with information and then how they share that information with readers or listeners or viewers.
Well, as you know, Dick Girardi writes for the Philadelphia Daily News, and the Daily News always has its fair share of sensational headlines. And he and I have had a good laugh over a couple of them over time. I remember being in Philadelphia, and it was the day after Evel Knievel passed away. And at the door, they had a copy of the Daily News waiting for us in the morning, you know, that day. I go out, I pick up the paper. There's a picture of Evel Knievel, and he passed away. And it says, "What took so long?" Like looking around, how cruel is this?
He went kind of quietly compared to all the other ways he could have gone. That's for sure,
no doubt. Hey, Steve, absolutely fascinating. Hopefully, we'll touch base a lot more, but appreciate very much your time and the insight you gave us.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
Steve Samsel writes a sports column dealing with television and radio, and One of the important things about doing talk radio is you try to be topical. Kevin and I do a lot of work trying to be as topical as possible. Now, we come at it from different points of view, but that's good because we don't want a show that's an absolute lockstep. I mean, I kid around on the air with Kevin all the time, but it's only kidding around when he says, "I want to talk about the logo," and I'm like, "Oh, for goodness sakes." You know, but again, we're trying to keep a variety of topics out there. So we talk about the college football playoff logo or something like that, and I'll jab him about it, but it's only in the context of the entertainment part of the show. The most important part of this is that we provide conversation to you, the listener, that you find to be intriguing or entertaining. We also have to make sure that we're doing a job where we're touching on the topics you want to touch on. And this is something I talk about in my class all the time. The first thing I touch on in class is that when you go for a job and you get the job, you need to find out what makes that area tick. And you have to take your personal preferences and you have to check them in at the door, and you have to make the preferences what the audience wants. So if you go to an area, for example, say you are somebody who has been broadcast, who went to the University of Minnesota, and you get your broadcasting degree at U of M. Okay. And there you love hockey. You love basketball. Football's really cool with you as well. Baseball's not bad, but you're not a NASCAR guy. Okay. But your first job happens to be in Huntsville, Alabama. Guess what? You have to do a job as the broadcaster to learn as much about NASCAR as possible, because in Huntsville, Alabama, NASCAR is huge. And ice hockey is not. So even though you may have grown up in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and you've gone to the University of Minnesota, and you got your broadcasting degree or communications degree from the University of Minnesota, and you are a hockey fanatic because of where you grew up, whether your dad was the Minnesota North Stars fan or you're a Minnesota Wild fan or you're a Gophers fan over at Mariucci, your first job's in Huntsville, Alabama, you have to check that in at the door. You can't go on every day and talk about the NHL on your talk show in Huntsville, Alabama. You're going to have to talk about NASCAR a little bit later this month, because we've now transitioned to the month of May. We are going to talk about the Indianapolis 500, and eventually we're going to go to Pocono. Now, NASCAR is more popular here than IndyCar, but it's still racing, and people in our area love racing. Kevin and I will bring that to you like we had Vince Welsh on last year. We'll do something in the same vein this year about the Indy 500, plus we'll get to Pocono in July.
And that's how you have to, you know, that's how you have to go about it. You have to know your area. We talk more about wrestling on this show than other shows across the state because there's a big contingent here that loves the sport. Next hour of the show, we will talk about ice hockey for a little bit because Joe Bautista will step in. We'll talk with Joe Bautista in a few moments as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.